As we begin this video, I'd like to remind everyone that our YouTube channel, See Answers TV, has an entire playlist dealing with the Islamic religion. Please go there to find out more about that. And we also have a website, www.MuslimHope.com, which also deals with the Islamic religion from a Christian point of view.
You are listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Films. For more, visit our website at www.megiddofilms.org. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 12th of February, 2016. Thank you all for tuning in. On today's show, we're going to be dealing with Roman Catholicism and how it now accepts the Islamic faith. Now, Islam has been in the news a lot lately, and nothing new there, but since the show has begun about nearly 5 years ago now, I haven't dealt with Islam directly. Now, on today's show, I want to look at myself and Richard Bennett, who's joined me on the show. We want to look at the relationship between the two and how the Roman Church accepts and promotes Islamic faith. Now, dear Roman Catholics, if you're listening to this, this might sound maybe outrageous, or it might seem beyond the possibilities of anything happening. I just ask you just to at least just listen to this production and hear the quotations and the documentation that our brother Richard Bennett is going to read for us in a minute. Richard, thanks a million for joining us again.
It's a pleasure and a joy to be with you, Paul. Just a great joy.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you back on again. And just to give people who have never heard of Richard Bennett before, he's a former Roman Catholic priest. He served in Trinidad in the West Indies, is that it?
Yes, West Indies.
West Indies. And he spent 21 years as a Roman Catholic priest. He founded, back in the 1980s after his conversion, Breen Beacon, which is, his website is breenbeacon.org. Richard, this is a very difficult subject to deal with. Could you just lead us out in some of the recent news that has emerged between the Vatican and some of the figureheads in Islam?
Yes, well, recent news is in January the 27th, 2016, quite recently, the Pope Francis welcomed the Islamic president of Iran, and it was that is the Hassan Rouhani, to the Vatican, and he welcomed him cordially and showed great admiration for him. This is just one example of the Vatican promoting Islam, and that was quite recently. And it has been consistent that Pope Francis and his Roman Church have been encouraging a massive influx of Muslims into Europe and the United States, and bringing Islamic thought and the repercussions and Islamic horrific attacks after them. And that such immigration has been the cause of many, many attacks. One, for example, was on Paris, the 13th of November 2015, when at least 128 people were killed, and for which the Islamic State of Iraq, of all places, and Al-Sham, that's ISIS, have claimed responsibility. These incidences of terror, the Paris attack and other ones that we'll be talking about, driven by a totalitarian ideology based on the Quran. They are living out what the Quran says. And the significance of the Roman Catholic Church promoting and accepting Islamic faith is especially alarming. especially in the magnitude of the Muslims pouring in from places like Syria and reaching places like Germany and Sweden. And there are horrific accounts of gang rape from Muslims in these countries, such as Germany and Sweden. And so this is something that can be seen easily on the internet. And I'd like to quote from an internet webpage, Breitbart.com, quotation, an epidemic of rape cases across Europe has police in the United Kingdom, Norway, Sweden, Germany, and other nations worried. But you won't hear much about it in the US mainstream media because the epidemic is a byproduct of the influx into Europe of a million mostly Muslim migrants. And you will see that easily on the internet, that report from Breitbart.com.
I've just been looking at the news over the last few weeks and just going through the many, many reports from Sweden, from some from Norway, from all over Europe, from different attacks. And the media is scared to report it in case they be classified as racist. I mean, people, even especially people in Sweden and Germany, they're desperate for people, I think, internationally to listen to them. But another quotation that I want to read from the Examiner.com from a columnist named Samantha Chang writes, 1,000 Muslims sexually assaulted, robbed, or raped over 821 women in Cologne on New Year's Eve. Similar attacks occurred that night in 11 other German cities, as well as in Finland, France, Sweden, and Switzerland. I mean, that is astonishing. And how much do we hear about this in the media? Very, very little. I mean, we hear little bits. We might hear that there are some people of Asian descent and all this, but we're not told that they're primarily, we can't say every single case that they're Muslim, but primarily a lot of them are. A Swedish writer named Avar Arpi, and I wanted to get, when I was doing a lot of research, I wanted to get their own accounts from inside Sweden. And he writes for The Spectator, during the We Are, now I'm not sure how to pronounce this, STHLM Music Festival, it's a big music festival in Sweden, large groups of young men harassed girls sexually. It began in 2014, and it also went on during last year's festival. According to internal police reports, the groups were so-called refugee youths, primarily from Afghanistan. The youngest of the victims was 12 years old. I mean, when I read, and this is just a selection. I mean, there are many, many more cases that people have been crying out for the police just to cover these cases and not just kind of treat them as normal events. This is sadly escalating. Richard, would you lay out the background? Because primarily we want to deal with, not necessarily with all the reports with Islam and in the news at the moment, but we want to look at the Roman Catholic Church's relationship now with Islam.
Yes, the background to it all is that for most of his pontificate, Pope Francis has been promoting Islam, and we can show that clearly. Instead of warning people about the persecution and these horrific rape cases that continue to happen and what's happening across Europe, he's left these things unaddressed. And he's left unaddressed the persecution also that is happening besides in Europe, in Middle East, and in African countries. So there's other places as well where similar things are happening. Our presentation will document these things. We'll give you the exact references. As large numbers of Muslim immigrants come from the Middle East, there is great concern in Western nations, and this is coming out in some of the news reports, even though some of them will not admit it. Nevertheless, Pope Francis continues to support Islam. And the fact is, he's living out the Vatican II teaching, the official teaching of the Catholic Church, that the Islamic faith is the same faith that they have. And very few people realize just how this has been planned by the Islamists themselves and their leader. And I'd like to read from you for you some of the what has been documented on the Clarion Project webpage, and you'll be able to find that on your internet. It is very few people realize that all of this is planned by the Islamic leader. And so it is that the Islamic leader, Abu Bakr Baghdadi, has stated loud and clear that if ISIS cannot defeat the West by military means, they will do so with overrunning it with jihadists. The present predicament indicates without a shadow of a doubt that al-Baghdadi is on the ascent. The Islamic State may have occupied vast tracts of land in Iraq and Syria over the past 15 months. He, al-Baghdadi, has stretched out his hand to grab the crown jewel of humanity, European civilization, along with hundreds of thousands of migrants from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and other parts of Islamic State Caliphate. They have landed on European shores. Large number of Islamic jihadists mingled among them, with millions on the march, trekking across the continents of Africa and Asia and heading towards Europe. Al-Baghdadi has the financial backing of rich Arab states, in particular Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. While Europe leaders talk and talk, their countries are gradually being inundated with migrants and jihadists, exactly as planned, a modern-day caliph. So this is the Clarion Project, and it's easy to find that on the internet. Just as I've read it, you can read it yourself on the internet. And now we need to review what has been happening, particularly in Germany. There's, you mentioned other places where there are horrific things besides Germany, but Germany has been in the news probably more than some of these other nations. It has gone a nation by nation that these things have happened. But in Germany, just let us consider that in Germany has already about 3 to 3.5 million Muslims. A Roman Catholic cardinal spoke of Islam's Quran as part of the historic heritage, believe it or not, of Europe and the Near East. The following is from a German source, and you can see the German source on the internet, where it was stated, quotation, the cardinal was cardinal and bishop of Mainz, who emphasized before 250 listeners at the event center at the university and the interreligious dialogue. The dialogue had started at Vatican Council II. Then Cardinal Lehmann stated that Quran research shows that ways to read the Quran as a text of late antiquity. As a result, the Quran does not at once does not appear strange, but shows the nearness to Christendom and Judaism. The Quran is part of the historic heritage of Europe and the Near East. I'll repeat that again, what he said. The Quran is part of the heritage of Europe and the Near East. What an abomination to say such a ghastly thing, that the Quran is part of the heritage.
It's almost like they'll say anything just to, you know, just to get people on side. I don't know. Obviously, we don't know what's inside this man's heart, but we know the machinations, the mechanisms of Rome, and rather than warning people, as you said,
rather than warning people that they could say such a thing And you can see that. It'll be easy to get the URL and to see that word for word as I read it on the internet. It actually was in German, and I was reading a German the English translation from the German webpage, but it's on other webpages as well. Such a dreadful, horrific thing to say by a Roman Catholic shows that the Roman Church is promoting the Islam, not just the Pope, but different cardinals and bishops and archbishops promoting it throughout the world.
I even know from listening to Irish radio over here, and you'd hear people, even sometimes Roman Catholic priests would be in the car listening to the radio, and they would talk about how Islam is similar to Christianity. And I'd be like, what? Because I've like talked to various, what you would call maybe more traditional Roman Catholics who wouldn't agree with that at all. But I mean, this seems to be coming in more and more. And as you mentioned there earlier, since Vatican II, Richard, could you lay out, I know you've got more quotations there, the papacy's policy on immigration. What is it? Because this could be, I know this will be confusing for many people. They'll say, hasn't the Roman Catholic Church for centuries been at war with Islam? And now is, you know, what's the policy today?
Yes, in general, the Vatican has always promoted Islam because, now is promoting Islam, but has always promoted immigration of peoples to different nations to bring in Catholicism. That is the way they increase in numbers. And early on, history of America was bringing in Catholics to America to bring in Catholicism. But now they're promoting immigration, both legal and illegal, to bring in Islam into different countries. And it's become apparent that this is a policy. And I'd like to read from a Catholic web page, in case you think I'm just saying this. I'm reading from a web page called the Society of Mary, and again, it can be found easily on the internet. And I read exact quotation from this Catholic web page called the Society of Mary. Quotation: Syrians have left their homes, and 4 million have fled their country as a result of the civil war and the rise of ISIS within their borders. While the majority of these refugees have fled to neighboring countries, some have sought asylum in Europe. Pope Francis and the Catholic bishops have called on the United States and international governments to support the asylum seekers. End of quotation, and you can find that on the internet. Pope Francis and the Catholic bishops have called on the United States and international governments to support the asylum seekers. Pope Francis supporting these Islamists coming into Europe, and this is stated on a Catholic webpage, and you can see that Catholic webpage easy on the internet. And then another Roman Catholic website states the following, quotation: Pope Francis and Catholic bishops have called on the U.S. government and international community's support to both Syrian refugees fleeing violence and to countries that have been on the forefront of humanitarian effort. And again, we will give you hopefully the URL for that so you can see that and read that yourself. It is interesting that 5 of the wealthiest of the Muslim countries have taken no Syrian refugees themselves, arguing that they would not leave themselves open to the risk of terrorism. The wealthiest Muslim nations are not taking these refugees themselves. And it is quite evident that the ISIS leader, al-Baghdadi, may have been or is being partially fully funded, if not fully funded, by Saudi Arabia and Qatar.
So, you know, like it's like that old saying, follow the money. And I mean, I suppose it's for anybody following the news, because it's not just Christians who are noticing the onslaught of Islam. You see, even in, you know, on liberals in different countries, people who have been, you know, studying the Quran and seeing what the Quran actually says. And like you said, it makes sense in the light of Roman Catholic history. If you look at the United States, it was predominantly Protestant in many cities, New York City, Chicago, and through mass immigration of people, often who would never have been in the city. A lot of them were farmers and ended up in New York City, changing it from a predominantly Protestant city into a predominantly Roman Catholic city. And the same, you know, like you have Irish and Italians flooding into the United States, and now today you've got, well, Mexicans coming into the United States. It changes the demographic, changes how a nation will vote. Where else, Richard, can you see the Roman Catholic Church's support of Islam?
You can see it of all places in the Catholic schools across the different parts of the world, here in America and other parts of the world. Catholicism is known for its Catholic schools, and now it has been documented and made clear that many of these schools are now opening their schools to Islamic people and having prayer rooms for Islamic people in the Catholic schools. And this has happened particularly, it has been documented in England and Wales, that Muslim prayer rooms are opened in every Roman Catholic school. The bishops have facilities for pre-prayer washing rituals at all Roman Catholic schools. Muslims say that these Catholic schools and the places for foot spas and hoses to facilitate extensive cleansing rituals that the Muslims do before their prayer. And these recommendations have been approved by Vincent Nichols, Archbishop of Birmingham, and he's a favourite to succeed Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor as Catholic Primate. So it's a very important Archbishop, Vincent Nichols, have approved these Islamic places for Islamic to have their foot spas and facilities so that they can have prayer rooms in Catholic schools. And so this is Roman Catholicism promoting Islam in their schools and having places for them. And
we just get this into context. It's like you'd understand it in a school that is promote, you know, like that doesn't claim a religion or whatever. You know, they're just trying to get anybody in. But this is a school that claims to teach, you know, the about the true God.
Yes, it claims to be Christian. Claims to be Christian, and then they're bringing in these Islamic things and facilitating. And it's amazing that even the Daily Mail webpage, and we'll be able to find this on the internet as well easily, carried the report of a Catholic school offer of sacred places to Muslim prayer. Even the Daily Mail website, and that should be able to find that easily on the internet. One is aghast at Catholic religious schools being used, as you say, Paul, for sacred places for Islamic people. And Catholic schools, not only in England and Wales, as we were documenting above, but in the United States. And I'd like to give an example here in the United States. A man called John Burney, he's president of Brother Rice High School, that is a Catholic high school in Bloomfield, Michigan, has decided to permit, quotation, non-Christian prayer room within the school to allow Muslims and other Christian students to allow them in and to pray. And if it's easy to find that on Truth Revolt organization on the internet about the Muslim prayer in Catholic schools, and that quotation by John Burney. And all this of assisting Islamic people to come in and into Roman Catholic schools here in the States has been happening under the watch of Pope Francis. And he, instead of warning people, has been promoting Islam and welcoming the Islamic president of Iraq and again and again, all for his own purposes as a Western leader. And it is strange, but this man has stated his view of Islam, and I'd like to read the exact words that he says, and this can be found easily on the internet, and we will give the URL to this. I'd like to read the exact words of Pope Francis, what he has stated about Islam and their sacred writings. Quotation: "The sacred writings of Islam have retained some Christian teachings. Jesus and Mary received profound veneration, and it is admirable to see how Muslims, both young and old, men and women, make time for daily prayer and faithfully take part in religious services. Many of them also have a deep conviction that their lives in its entirety is from God and for God. They also acknowledge the need to respond to God with an ethical commitment and with mercy towards those most in need." End of quotation of the exact words of Pope Francis. He is giving his approval of Muslims and saying that they are people who seek God and their lives are entirely devoted from God and for God, and that they actually have Christian teachings about Jesus and Mary. And this is the exact words of Francis, and it's easy to find, and we hopefully will give you there the URL of this quotation on your web screen.
I remember too, back in, I think it was the 1990s, when, or I can't remember exactly when, but there was that picture of Pope John Paul II kissing the Quran, which shocked a lot of people back then. I mean, considering that Islam openly denies that Jesus is the Son of God, and denies, and we'll see later in the show, like this, they believe that the doctrine of the Trinity is a blasphemy, to try to marry these systems together, again, it shows that Roman Catholicism does not support biblical Christianity at all, and anathematizes biblical Christianity in many of its official documents. Why, Richard, why is he, in your opinion, why is Pope Francis doing this? Why is he trying to wade together two worldviews that clearly don't fit?
Yes, Paul, that's a very good question, because he does this because it's the official teaching of the Catholic Church. And it became official teaching of the Catholic Church at the end of Vatican Council II. And it's in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's very easy to purchase the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and you can find it online as well, Catechism of the Catholic Church, and go to paragraph 841, and you will find this exact quotation, which I now read from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the official teaching of the Catholic Church. Quotation: "The Church's relationship with Muslims. The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator. In the first place amongst them are the Muslims, who profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day." End of quotation.
And if you study like passages like Galatians chapter 3 and other parts, Romans chapter 4, talk about, you know, all passages in the Bible talk about those who are in Abraham and Christ. The blessings of Abraham coming upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ.
And then to say that Muslims have the same faith of Abraham. This is not the faith of Abraham that the scriptures speak about. This is utterly, diabolically opposed, because it is, as we will see, as we give later on exact quotation from the Quran, they're exactly against the Trinity and exactly against faith in Christ alone and his death, and against the crucifixion of Christ. And so we'll see these things later on as we give exact quotations from the Quran.
Because the thing is, I want people to get this straight in their mind, especially, I suppose, those who just say are watching in. It's if you are wrong on the gospel, you are wrong on everything. If it's a different Jesus, which the Quran talks about, it is not the Jesus of the Bible. It is a Jesus who's merely a prophet, merely an apostle, when you can anyone be saved outside of Jesus Christ? And obviously the answer is no. And if we don't have this foundation, it ceases to be Christianity anymore. You know, upon him, he is the chief cornerstone. We have the apostles who are the foundation. But with Islam, you have a completely new foundation, which claimed when it emerged to agree with the Bible. And, you know, they can't say that anymore because it clearly contradicts the Bible. You know, they claim to agree with all of God's books, apparently the Torah and the Bible. But it's quite clear. I mean, I don't want to get off into a tangent here, but there's, for anybody who thinks that there is any similarity between Islam and Christianity, there is not. And if you think that, you do not know the gospel, or you do not know Islam. Richard, Islam rejects the Trinity. Could you go through this with us, try to explain some, and you have some quotes there from the Quran?
Yes, I think it's important to document and to give exact quotations, and so that we see that we are saying something that is exactly can be found in Islamic's official teaching. So we would like to quote, Islam rejects the Trinity, it rejects Christ's divinity, and it rejects his sacrifice on the cross. And we will see these things as we quote now from the Quran. Rejecting the Trinity, we will see they say the following. Quotation from the Quran. Certainly, they disbelieve who say, surely Allah is the third person of the Trinity. And there is no God but the one God. And if they desist not from what they say, a painful chastisement shall befall them who disbelieve. So they are blaspheming the Trinity. They say that in the ways that they explain it in this quotation from the Quran. The Quran, the exact verse in the Quran is Surah 573. So you can look that up, and we'll give the webpage where all the quotations can be found on the internet from the Quran. And the Bible proclaims quite clearly again and again the Christ's sacrificial death for the believer, as scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It was his blood shed on the cross. And Christ was crucified. It's by his blood we have the forgiveness of sins. Islam passionately rejects the crucifixion. And I'd like to read exactly again from the Quran. And I'm reading now from Surah 4 and 157, quotation. And they're saying, surely we have killed the Messiah, Isa, son of Miriam, the apostle of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. But it appeared to them so, like Isa. And most surely, those who differ therein are only in a doubt about it. And they have no knowledge respecting it, but only follow a conjecture. And they killed him not for sure. And they killed him not for sure. Exact words from the Quran, Surah 4, 157. And so they deny the crucifixion, the central part of Christianity. It's all around the cross. We're saved by Christ's death on the cross. And they deny the crucifixion. So how basic can you get in denying Christianity? But these are...
No crucifixion, no Christianity.
No Christianity whatsoever. And they have debased Jesus Christ to being an apostle of Allah. You know, what we read in that quotation, it was that he was an apostle of Allah. The Messiah, Isa, son of Miriam, the apostle of Allah. Jesus was not the apostle of Allah. Jesus Christ is one with the Father. He is the bright image of the Father's glory and the express image of glory, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. He is divine, he is Christ, he is God and man, and he is not the apostle of Allah. And this is horrific. That was from the Surah, and it is the horrific teaching from the Quran. Jesus Christ said, "Before Abraham was, I am." That's in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 58. "I and the Father are one. I said to you, therefore, ye shall die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he." That's John chapter 8, verse 24. And this is serious, and it is for any Catholic listener and any Islamic Muslim listening. If you do not believe that Christ Jesus is he, that is one with the Father, one with divinity with the Father, the man is also God. There's one person, two natures. If you do not believe that, you will die in your sins. This is necessary to believe that Jesus is God and man, and he died in your place and in my place if you truly are a believer, and that his redeeming death is what brings us salvation. And so this is the Quran explicitly denigrates our Lord Jesus Christ.
And it's worth bearing in mind, just as, you know, we know and probably should have pointed out at the start of the show, that we realize the vast majority of Muslims are not terrorists, not jihadis or anything like that. But, you know, you talk to the average Muslim, they wouldn't be aware of this a lot of the time. Now, obviously, this is the official teaching of Islam. This is, if you do not go by the Quran, referring to the Hadith and things like that, can you claim it's Islam anymore? People like to say that there's a moderate or it's peaceful. They pick certain verses from the Quran. It's important as well to look at, okay, with all that's happening in the world, there is much upheaval in Germany, in Sweden, Finland. There's vigilante groups trying, you know, patrolling the streets actually at the moment to protect women. That's why they're primarily out there. I don't know if all of them are sound or anything like that. But compare the Bible's philosophy with that of Islam. The Bible says in 1 John 1:5, "This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And the Bible also says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." It is quite clear. And also just the Bible's message of love your enemy. I think that's one of the clearest command that the Bible is known for. Even if you watch liberal media, they will always quote to love your enemy. Sadly, the Quran teaches the opposite. The Quran says in Surah 2, 191, "And kill them wherever you find them, and drive them out, and whence they drove you out, and persecution is severer than slaughter. And do not fight with them at the sacred mosque until they fight with you in it. And if they do fight you, then slay them, and such is the recompense of the unbelievers." And Surah 474 says, "Let those fight in the way of Allah who sell this world's life for the hereafter. And whoever fights in the way of Allah, then be he slain or be he victorious. He shall grant him a mighty reward." Surah 923 says, and this is one of the ones that I remember, I've studied Islam on and off for a couple of years and never dealt with it on the show before, but, O you who believe, fight those of the unbelievers who are near to you and let them find in you hardness." Surah 923. And this is just a sampling there's plenty of other places as well. The Quran talks about how Muslims are the best of creatures, and it forbids taking Jews and Christians for friends. It talks about, you know, the things it says about Jews driving them to the narrowest part of the road. They're diametrically, hugely opposed. One of the reasons, if you look at Islamic history from the time of Muhammad right up until the time of the fall of Constantinople, you see a religion of war and destruction that can be taught out by history, that can be taught out by the Quran. And sadly, what we're being told in the media, that this is a peaceful religion, it's an utter lie. And we've got to get back with all these things. I implore you, if somebody's listening to this and claims to be a moderate Muslim and says, well, I don't believe that, I would call them back to John 3:36, that you need to be in Christ Jesus. And John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We tell you these things not because we think we are better in any way, shape, or form. Unlike the Quran, which says that the Muslims are the best of creatures, a Christian who's saved in Christ Jesus doesn't see himself as the best of creatures. He sees himself as a recipient of divine mercy. He is an undeserving wretch before the Father, but by the virtue, by the merits of Christ Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, all that Christ achieved on the behalf of his elect, that is the reason, that's the only boasting we can have. We never have boasting in ourselves. And there is a two-sided. I mean, again, this one of the things, when people read the Quran and things like that, it confuses people. Musab Hassan Youssef, who was very famous a couple of years ago, I think he still is, wrote a book called The Son of Hamas. He was the son of a very famous sheikh within the Hamas organization. Hamas, for those who are not aware, is in Gaza. It is a terrorist organization which seeks the complete annihilation of the state of Israel. And it states that over and over again. And Musab Hassan Youssef stated in his book about the two-sided nature of Islam. Many people in the West who stereotype all Muslims as terrorists don't know about the side of Islam that reflects love and mercy. It cares for the poor, widows, and orphans. It facilitates education and welfare. It unites and strengthens. This is the side of Islam that motivates the motivated early leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood. But listen to this. Of course, there is also the other side. The one that calls all Muslims to jihad, to struggle, and contend with the world until they establish a global caliphate led by the one holy man who rules and speaks for Allah. There is no for those who believe every single verse of the Quran, and there are many people out there, there is no compromise. Sure, some individual Muslims may compromise, which was seen in some of the peace treaties and things like that between Hamas and Israel, but at the very core of it, it is bent upon the destruction of every single civilization to establish a global caliphate. The Bible says, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. We're not trying to gain anything, except that maybe through the message of the gospel, dear souls would turn from their sins, turn from their self-righteousness, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Richard, Francis, on the surface of it, seems to believe that Islam is a religion of peace. How has his actions in recent years shown this?
His actions are consistent, and it goes back, interestingly enough, to soon after he became Pope, and he made his first policy declaration in March 2013 that he made Muslim Catholic relations on the top of his priorities. And that is when he spoke before ambassadors and leaders, an audience from 180 countries across the world. Muslims, he claimed, need to intensify their dialogue with Catholics. And he welcomed them profusely and with many, many gracious words. And that can still be found on the internet quite easily, his policy declaration in March 2013. And he has continued this. We have seen that instead of warning people in Africa, in the European countries, and the many, many European countries where there's horrendous rape of thousands of people, women, and it is where all of these things continue to happen. He does not warn them. He continues to accept Islam and even to accept the warmly the president of Iraq on the 27th of January 2016. On and on, he continues to accept Islam and to allow and to know that in Catholic schools across America and Wales and England and other parts of the world, Islamic rituals are going on in Catholic schools where there's room for Catholic schools for their foot spas and for other things, their ritual ablutions before they pray in prayer rooms in Catholic schools. And all this has been facilitated under the watch of Pope Francis. Islam is being facilitated and Islamic immigration is being facilitated to the United States and other countries of the world. How horrific can you get? And this needs to be spoken of. This video needs to go forth far and wide. And I would urge you, dear viewer and listener, to get this message out, because this is horrific. It's happening at the present time. This can be documented, and you can do your own research and see that all of this is absolutely true. People need to know about this. And dear precious Catholic listeners and viewers, you need to know and hear the voice of the Lord. You need, just as I needed way back in 1985 when I was dead in trespasses and sins and still in Romanism, and I needed to hear, and I needed to hear the Apostle Paul so warmly and wonderfully declare that the righteousness of God was revealed, and it was revealed and been witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ unto them and upon them that believe. That's in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. The righteousness of God is revealed, it is seen. The perfection of Christ Jesus is seen. That perfection is on whom? Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. On us who are sinners, who have fallen short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. We are justified freely. We're made right. We're saved freely by God's grace. That's the message I heard way back then in 1985, and it's a message that you must hear, dear precious Catholic. And we'd love to hear from you. It's such a joy when I do hear from Catholics whom the Lord has woken up by his Holy Spirit. It's such a joy. And Paul will be giving my email address, and I'd love to hear from you, because it is always a joy. And I expect to hear from many Catholics just how you have heard the voice of the Son of God and live, and that you have your own story. And this is always such a joy to us to hear and to respond to these emails, because his grace is glorious. And people like myself and thousands of others, and I have a whole book of 30 ordinary Catholics called On the Wings of Grace Alone who have come to biblical faith, of another book of 20 former nuns, of another book of 50 former priests, all who heard the voice of the Son of God and lived, and on, and we more and more, and it's happening all the time, people coming to faith. Look to Christ. Don't look to altars and priests and rituals. They don't deliver. Christ Jesus delivers. Look to him, the author and finisher of a faith, as it says in the book of Hebrews. Look to him, you will not be disappointed. Admit that you need salvation, that you're dead in trespass and sins. Call to him for the faith and grace, and he will answer, and you will be utterly changed, and you will give him the praise and the glory, and you will do so now and forevermore. May he be glorified as he saves you in his grace to his glory now and forevermore. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Richard, for joining us today. I mean, it's such a pleasure, and I know I've gotten emails from people who listen to the show, and they really enjoy when I have you on. And we're really blessed, and we were really thankful that the research that you've done, especially as well, we want to reach out to those Muslims who may listen to this radio show. We're not trying to gang up on you or anything like that. I've worked with a lot of Muslims over the years. I pray that you will see one thing, and it says in Isaiah 64, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf. The greatest thing you can do in this world, the nicest, greatest, most quote-unquote noble thing you can do in this world before the throne of God is but filthy rags. You cannot please God through your works. You need a mediator. Christ Jesus truly died. He truly bore the wrath of God. We're told this in Isaiah 53. I implore you to not just trust your religious leader, imam, sheikh, or anything like that. Trust in the living word of God and word of God alone. We pray that you will come to the fountains of living water, that your thirst may be satisfied, that you will no longer have to try and do the impossible by pleasing God. You cannot please God through your own works. Again, as the scripture declares, our greatest deeds, the best things we can ever do, are but filthy rags. And the Bible is very explicit about that. It uses very strong language. Richard's website is bereanbeacon.org. His email is richardmbennett@yahoo.com. My email is miguelofilms@gmail.com. Please email us. We would love to hear from you. Keep us all in your prayers. Pray for Richard and his work, and that the Lord would continue to bless him, and that he'd be able to continue in the work of the ministry, and that he would be blessed where he is in the United States. We pray that the grace of God, for the pouring out of the Spirit of God upon Europe, that many people, there's nothing that restrains God by saving by few or by many. That God would be merciful to the nations of Europe, the nations of Northern Africa, the nations across the world, that many souls may come to know faith as Richard did and as I did many years ago. It's been Paul Flynn. May God bless you all.
If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Thank you.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian Debater Ministries. I'm pleased to introduce to my audience a dear brother in the Lord, Richard Bennett, Director of Berean Beacon Ministries, an outreach to Roman Catholics.
It is great to be here, Larry.
For people that don't know you, You were a Roman Catholic priest for 22 years, is that right? Please give us a short account of your life.
Yes, I was a Catholic priest for 22 years. I was a Catholic altogether for 48 years, having grown up in Dublin, Ireland. I was trained very early on in my education, in what we call secondary and elementary education, by the Jesuits. And then I decided to become a Catholic priest, and I spent 8 years in preparation. It was a novitiate year, and then 6 years to ordination when I was ordained a priest in Dublin, Ireland in 1963, and then 1 year in Rome, 8 years in all. Then I spent 21 years in Trinidad, West Indies as a parish priest carrying out the work of a priest. I had the best academic training you could get, finishing up in the city of Rome itself near the Vatican, and I really had a desire to bring Catholics to what we thought was a way of being right with God, so that they could get to purgatory and then that they finally could get to heaven. And I was great for doing penances and sacrifices. And then I was very devout in Trinidad, baptizing babies, hearing people's confessions and doing all the sacraments. It was in 1972, I had a very serious accident where I was 3 days unconscious after the serious accident. And then after that time, when I got out of the hospital and the sanatorium, I began searching in the Bible for what is truth. It took me 14 years of comparing the Bible to Catholicism before I realized that I was dead in trespasses and sins, and it was by grace alone that we are saved. One night I got on the floor in my house and I cried out to God for faith and his grace to save a wretch like me, dead in trespass and sins, and he gloriously did that. It was about 2 months afterwards I very reluctantly left the Catholic Church, because my prayer after I was right with God by biblical salvation was that I could really love Catholics and give them the real true gospel of grace. That is grace alone, faith alone, and in Christ alone. But then in prayer over those 2 months after I was saved, the Lord showed me that I could best serve him and love Catholics if I left actually the priesthood and the Catholic Church and reached out to Catholics nonetheless. And I did that. I left the priesthood in 1985 and reached the States in 1986. And I just prayed and prayed that I would have a love for Catholics to reach out. I thank the Lord that after 1 year as a missionary in China, I was able to start the ministry that I now have called BereanBeacon.org. It is to show Catholics the real truth of where salvation is in a person, not in any church. And it is by God's grace, not by any ritual that any church does. So this has been really wonderful. I've seen priests save. I saw two priests in Poland, you know, through our ministry. We have a Polish webpage, besides many other languages, and of course in English. And I thank God that I have seen God's grace poured out. And that is my heart's desire, Larry, that Catholics would know the truth and that evangelicals in this very false ecumenical age would see the differences. I have a very interesting article on the webpage. Are Catholics Christians? And we've had tremendous response to that, evangelicals whose eyes have been opened in reading that article. So it's with love for Catholics and to show the truth of Christ Jesus that God will be glorified and many, many souls saved, particularly Catholics, to the glory of his name.
Outstanding. That was a wonderful testimony, Richard. Could you just real briefly tell us about, you've written some books, and you've already mentioned your ministry, but what are these books you've written, and how can people find them?
Yes, I have written or edited, written some and edited others, and they have been amazing. I just thank God. Our most well-known book is Far From Rome, Near to God, The Testimonies of 50 Converted Catholic priest since 1994. That book has sold steadily across the world in English and in other languages, and it's on the third edition now. And the other book that has my heart really displayed and my love for Catholics is the book I've written about Catholicism called Catholicism, East of Eden, Insights into Catholicism for the 21st Century. This book is published by Banner of True Trusts, like the book of the 50 Testimonies of Former Priests. And I thank God for that, because the Lord has used that book and it brought many Catholics to himself by that book. The other book that my heart was in editing together with Mary Hertel is a book called The Truth Set Us Free, 20 Former Nuns Tell Their Stories. And that book has been used mightily of the Lord as well. And I thank God for those women, most of whom are still alive and active in reaching out to Catholics themselves. And it is just a wonderful testimony of God's grace. And the other book I've written is called On the Wings of Grace Alone. I've edited that. And that is just 30 ordinary Catholics and what we call lay Catholics, and how the Lord brought them to salvation. That is an amazing book too. How can you obtain these books? Well, go to our webpage, bereanbeacon.org, and just go to the folder on the left-hand side, books. And when you click on that, it gives all the details of how you can get those books.
Outstanding. Well, Richard, we're going to go into showing people your videos now here across particularly our audience on YouTube. But many people don't know that you and me go to the same church here in Austin, Texas. So it gives me a special opportunity to be around you a lot just so we can do ministry work. But anyway, I want to thank you for allowing us to post your videos on the internet through YouTube and other internet servers.
Praise God, and may souls be saved and the Lord glorified. Amen and amen.
Amen.